Good morning, everybody. Let me call to order the October 2nd meeting of the Mount Pleasant Town Council Police Judicial and Legal Committee. It's good to see everybody here on this beautiful fall day. Wish we could meet outside, but so be it. Item two on our agenda is approval of the minutes from September 5th.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, the minutes from September are approved. Item number three is public comments. If you have a public comment to make, please come forward. You have 2.5 minutes to speak. Anybody for public comment? Yes, sir.
Jake Rambo, 428 Shannon Drive. I just wanted to say that for item 6A, I asked Mayor Hain, thank you for putting this on the agenda. Based on a recent incident that we had that really affected and frightened a lot of people with young kids in Mount Pleasant, as well as the fact that it's kind of crazy that the act of trying to lure a child into a car is not actually a crime. So I know I've spoken with several of our state representatives who are in support of H3015, as well as a friend on Charleston City Council who, after we hopefully adopt a resolution to support that, that they will also pass a similar resolution to get the ball moving on that. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for public comment before we close it? None? All right. Public comment is closed. Item four, police matters. A is discussion on election security and regulations. So those who are here to do that, please come forward. We all know we have an election coming up in November, town council election here and other elections, all municipal elections around the Lowcountry. And the chief and I, and I'm trying to remember who else was there. Deputy chief, that's right. I think we had the biggest delegation there on election security and the new law now, right, is the early voting.
Yes.
No excuse needed. You can just go vote, right?
Correct.
But I appreciate y'all being here this morning. If you'll introduce yourselves for the record and tell us what you have for us to hear. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us here today. My name is Natasha Streets. I am the deputy director for the Board of Voter Registration and Elections. And I am here today to let you all know about the early voting dates that we have available for your citizens and to assure you all that we are taking election security very seriously in order to protect everyone's right to have a free and fair election. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Good morning. I apologize. I'm Lauren Neff. I'm the counter threat manager for Charleston County Public Safety. I've been working with our election staff since 2020 as we ramp up for 2024. And addressing some policies and procedures and making sure that we are properly positioned with our municipalities to be able to work these elections as they become major events in our nation.
Thank you both for your service and the work you do. Appreciate
it. Thank you. All right, so early voting begins October 23rd and goes through November 3rd. The hours are 8:30 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. And the closest location for your residence will be the Mount Pleasant Seacoast Church. But your residents are also able to vote at the other three early voting locations, which will be the main library downtown, the West Ashley Seacoast off of 17, and then our election headquarters, which has moved to 4340 Corporate Road, which is just down the road from the Public Service Building for Charleston County. Additionally, on Election Day, all of the Mount Pleasant polling locations will be open, and we'll be providing a full list of the polling locations to your police force. That way, they're aware of all of the locations across the county. We're anticipating about 15,000 to 20,000 voters on Election Day, total turnout, actually, and then we're anticipating a little less than 3,000 for early voting. We are coordinating with public safety to ensure that we have security plans in place to ensure everyone's safety, both the election workers and the voters. We have been working on these plans for Yeah, 3 years now. It's been a wonderful collaboration between Lauren on the counter threat side of things, and then with Joe Coates in emergency management. We have a comprehensive plan. We meet regularly to assess our plans to see how they are playing out in smaller elections so that we can scale up for larger elections like this November.
From a public safety perspective, we've been working very closely with all of our public safety professionals, both fire, EMS, and police. From a coordinated approach to this, Charleston County obviously is the largest county by landmass. We expect roughly 108 polling locations in the 2023 municipal elections. So we are using this as a dry run from an event perspective to make sure that we are all on the same page. From an emergency management perspective, we will partially be opening our EOC so that all of our law enforcement, fire, EMS, library officials, everybody who hosts the polling locations can be in the same room to address any issues that may arise during the day. Voting must go on, and working with election staff, they will also have somebody in the facility so decisions can be made in a timely format. One concern we are very worried about is disinformation and misinformation and malinformation on the internet. We have found in the last 2 years, we have been able to shut a lot of that down almost in real time during some of the past elections and early voting that we've dealt with. So we've been working through this process for the last 3 years, and we look forward to this year working with our municipalities. And then obviously next year, it actually kicks off in February with what's going on in the presidential election.
After today's meeting, I'll be sending out an updated guideline for local law enforcement on election day so that your police officers will know exactly what parameters they can work within. That way they are protecting everybody's safety and their right to vote while also following the law. So I will be emailing this to my contact on your police force.
Would you, just a couple of things. One is we know there's a state law about police presence at polling places, at least a permanent visible presence. And so we have to operate within that law, but that does not mean there's any lack of security at polling places, correct?
Correct.
Right.
There's no lack of security.
Right. And for the early voting now, anybody can show up at the early voting places you already mentioned and vote. Is that that's
any correct? Eligible voter can show up at an early voting location without an excuse
right.
to vote early in the election.
So we have that. I'm trying to do the math. It's 2 weeks, I guess, starts on November 23rd, or 10 days.
October 23rd through November 3rd.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to wait and show up on Election Day. You can go, and we're fortunate to have one of those here at Seacoast and on Long Point mm-hmm. Road. But there's also security for all early voting as well, and we don't go into security details, but we're not just waiting for Election Day to be secure, right?
Correct. We have a coordinated effort plan just in place for the early voting locations.
Right. I knew that. I just want to make sure we talked about that. And thank y'all for the meeting you hosted. I don't think there's any questions from the panel, but I know from the committee, I know we appreciate all that y'all do. And like I said, Lauren, I'm used to seeing you in bad weather in the EOC up in Ladson. It's nice to see you on a nice sunny day.
Well, you'll see me in the EOC on Election Day and running up to it. So that's where we have no issues and we can all work together to get through them.
Well, I know the people of Mount Pleasant really appreciate it. And thank you for the tour of the new election office headquarters. That is something to behold. And what an improvement from where you were. It's fantastic. So if that's it, we will finish that item of our agenda. Thank you all very much.
Thank you so much for your time.
Do we have, for 4B, do we have employee years of recognition as well?
Good morning, Mayor, committee members. Today is the recognition day for the Garys. If I can have Gary Rouge come forward, please. Wait. Gary Reese joined the department in October of 2013 after graduating the academy, signed the patrol division, and apparently loves it because he's been there ever since, which is fantastic for us. He's proven himself as a leader, an informal leader within the department, just does a tremendous job. Also serves on the Mobile Field Force, has received a life-saving award. Whenever the need arises, he's always willing to fill in as a field training officer. Can't say enough positive about his 10 years as part of the Chief's Council. He's very, very invested in the development and improvement of the agency. And that's just going above and beyond being a great patrol officer. So thank you for 10 years. Look forward to many more. Sir.
Another gift.
All right, Gary Myers. Sergeant Myers joined in October of 2003. I can't believe 20 years has gone by.
I can't either.
Wow. He has spent his career in patrol and just done a fantastic job. Worked his way up through the ranks. is currently serving as our canine supervisor, and that's an awesome responsibility. That unit is invaluable to us in any type of crisis situation. Recently, we've seen the news. We've unfortunately lost not Mount Pleasant canine, but the canine community is very close. Lost a canine. Gary works with his team. Last several years, we've hosted statewide canine training. Just does an exceptional job. He likewise is always willing to step in and fill in. I frequently hear him running the road as a patrol supervisor, filling in for his fellow sergeants. Spirit of teamwork is one of the best ways to describe Gary. Always willing to say yes and help. So just an incredible 20 years of exceptional service. So thank you very much. We look forward to many more.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you, man. At least five.
Thank you both very much, both Garys, for your service to our community. It means a lot. Item 5 is judicial matters. There are none on the agenda today. Item 6 is legal matters, discussion, and possible action on the resolution to the Charleston legislative delegation encouraging the state legislature to pass a child luring law, for which apparently there is a bill, number H3015. Something about this came up in my council member days when you were chief, I remember, and I can't remember what the resolution to that was, but I think it had to do with state law or something to that effect. But Mr. Pagani, I guess you'll take it from here.
Yes, sir. This was added to the agenda, and as our council member expressed during public comment, the request is for a resolution in support of this bill. House Bill 3015, I have put it up on the screen, which is titled the Child Luring Law. And just to run through the brief definitions, you will see them on the first page, child, conveyance, dwelling, and structure. You will noted that luring is not defined. Section B, this is really the heart of it, a person 18 years of age or older who lures, entices, or attempts to lure or entice a child into a conveyance, dwelling, or structure without consent, expressed or implied, of the child's parent or legal guardian, and then first offense, second offense, and the like. Felony conviction and mistake of age, not a defense. To prosecution, however, may be raised as an affirmative defense. So that is the entirety of the bill, the statute that will be addressed at the State House. Of course, legal has no opinion as to the policy in support of this. I do, if you're interested, have some comments on the authorship in writing specifically. As I said, their luring is not defined, and it probably, although this may be debated or has been debated, at least that the authors of this bill might consider an attempt to add in under Section B1 with the intent of committing a crime would seem to be appropriate language in there. The way it's written now is a bit open-ended, but my comments are only as to the writing and authorship.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Whitley.
Yeah, you know, I think this is, I think supporting resolution with that additional language, that was my one question. And I did see that there is an exception if it's for the safety of the child, because I've definitely seen, like, a four-year-old wandering lost in, like, the grocery store, and you're like, okay, let's get you to the front of the store so they can call your mom. Which, I mean, I guess you wouldn't be luring someone to a dwelling at that point, but you could see where a kid gets out and they're in the neighborhood or whatever, and you're trying to find who they belong to. Mm-hmm. So I think I saw this come through on the Mount Pleasant mommy groups. I have four children who, because Mount Pleasant is such a safe area, roam, you know, on their bikes with their friends, and they go to Pitt Street Bridge, and this person, his actions were not just, this person was trying to get babysitters to let the children go with him. This person was FaceTiming with a mother, trying to convince the mother that he was a person that they should be allowed to take the child in the car, and there were just and there were multiple attempts on multiple children, and the guy even, like, let them take a picture of his purported ID, saying, this is me, it's, you know. So it was just very frightening, a lot of upset among the moms in the community, because we have this sense of safety and this sense of community that we are on the lookout for each other's family, each other's kids. So I'm very much in support of this. I think that the addition of that language, making it clear that it is for purposes of some kind of crime, would be helpful to stop, you know, or better language about being a good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. White, for that. But I also have an observation that whoever's written this bill, who the authors are, we know we have conveyance dwelling structure. I think it needs to be broader than that. You know, if you got somebody trying to be lure a child into the woods, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, if the intent, like you talked about, can get that defined, we need to go a little step further, or at least have our authors go a step further. Because we see that happen all the time, too, and it can be lured into an area other than what a conveyance is. And my only other question, Mr. Pagliarini, if we can't get our state lawmakers to pass this and give us a state law, I see it's a misdemeanor. Can a town do anything on our own if this does not get passed? We don't have to wait on the state to step up. We can protect our children.
Absolutely, and you said it correctly. The first offense in the is a misdemeanor, and if the child is under the age of 13, it would be a felony in there. But yes, sir, if the state does not address this issue and does not occupy the field, the town has that authority.
Okay. And I certainly hope if that doesn't happen, we can come back and talk about that, and we'll take the lead like we always do to protect our children, our citizens.
Is there any wording or anything that could be helpful from the what's used in internet crimes against children, in which our department's very active? I mean, that's not restricted to something with a roof over it, like this says, right? I mean, there's got to be some better language for what danger you're luring the child to.
There certainly is.
Okay. So how would we, if we decided to go about what we have on our agenda, possible action or resolution encouraging, do we foresee that including, would you consider this suggested language, or are we just encouraging the passing?
That's up to the committee.
What do y'all think?
Some, all, or none?
Yeah, okay. I would suggest that if we're going to do, and I think we will get the resolution, we've identified what we believe are some shortcomings and we think need to be added. And okay. I would ask that to also be in that resolution. So, and it may be something that's forgotten, we can be the one to remind them.
Very well. Ms. Chapman?
And I had a concern, as Councilmember Whitley mentioned. When I was with CARTA, we had an incident where a three-year-old child was on the side of Rivers Avenue by themselves. The bus driver, to her credit, stopped, convinced the young girl to get on the bus with her, And then she was taken back by a supervisor who came to meet the bus back to the offices so that from a safety standpoint, that child was protected. In the event something like that would happen again and this law were passed, what is the protection for the person making that, I guess, personal decision to try to protect the child?
I think the comments that have been pointed out here show the potential flaws in the authorship of this.
Right.
What is a very good idea probably should be, there should be some additions to protect against that.
I just want to make sure there's something that protects, for example, an individual who, from a safety standpoint, is has the best interest of the child and the child's family at heart. And that's I think that's critical to get this passed, because going like it does, there are going to be all kind of questions before the committee that would take this on, and that would, you know, all those questions might stop the bill, which is a great idea, from getting passed.
Customer Rich.
Mr. Pagliarini, in absence of that, would not the disinheritance law come into effect and maybe protect that person as well?
I think so.
Okay.
I think when you read those together, it would. And Councilor, you of all people know, and we've talked about this over the years, whether it relates to noise and all of the other ordinance that we've discussed. We trust our law enforcement to make good and reasonable decisions out in the field, and that's where it starts.
Understand, and thank you, sir. But I do think that language would help. But in an absence of that, for you, Mr. Chapman, the Good Samaritan law, I think would come into play here to protect the bus driver. So, do we need a motion for that, sir, or just the?
I think a motion, and we probably don't have time to go over every aspect. That's a call we had asked him to take. Has to do with some committee business later. I think a motion to ask Mr. Pagliarini maybe to bring the council next Tuesday night to bring together what we've talked about with the added things that we would recommend. So if y'all like to make a motion.
Okay. I move to recommend to council that we pass a resolution encouraging the state legislator pass the child learning law with the changes suggested by this committee.
I second.
All right. Is there any further discussion?
Sure.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. So if you don't mind working on that for us. And Councilman Rembrandt, thank you for bringing that to this committee's attention. There being nothing else before this committee, item 7 is to adjourn. So we will stand adjourned.